Amen. The Bible warns us that Satan, that the great dragon, the serpent of old, the deceiver, called the devil and Satan, has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. He prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I heard about a family who kept a boa constrictor in their home. It was a family pet. It crushed and swallowed their little baby. We can't afford to play around in the devil's playground. We can't afford to take sin to us and think we can coddle it and play with it. You can't put your finger in the fire and not get burned, Proverbs says. We need to be aware of the deceitful schemes of the devil. We saw last week that his method is deceit and his target is the mind. We need to stand firm in the Lord and be strong in the strength of his might. We saw last week that we need to put on the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of readiness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And now we come to Ephesians 6, verse 18. And we're going to focus on verse 18. We'll touch on 19 and 20, but we're going to focus on verse 18. And here in verse 18, we're going to see seven aspects of prayer. Seven things that should characterize prayer in our life. And prayer is the secret weapon. We must pray. The Bible puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There in verse 18, we see seven characteristics of prayer. And I want you to look at those with me. First of all, balanced prayer. Balanced prayer. It says, with all kinds of prayer. He says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer. All prayer. And the idea is with all kinds of prayer, there are many varieties of prayer. There's confession. 1 John 1, 9 tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to confess the sin in our life that is breaking our fellowship with God, that is hindering our fellowship with Him. So first of all, under a balanced prayer would involve confession. It would also involve adoration. We're told in John 4 that God is seeking worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Expressing love and adoration to God, worshiping God, praising God. Satan wants you to worship pleasure and possession and power and things like that, things of the world, money, anything but God. But we need to worship God. We need to honor God. And so that is adoration. And the next is thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, in everything, give thanks. And so expressing appreciation to God. Satan wants you to feel like anything you get is owed to you. Anything you want is owed to you. And it takes away that thankful heart. Then there's intercession. James 5:16 talks about praying for one another. We need to pray for one another. Are most of your prayers just centered around praying for yourself? We need to pray for others. That's intercession, praying for others. Satan wants you to get wrapped up in a package that's no bigger than yourself. And finally, there's petition. That's where you do pray for your own needs. It is certainly fine to pray for your own needs. Just don't pray only for your own needs. But it's okay to pray for your own needs. And Satan would want you to live and act like you're independent of God, that you don't need His help, you don't need His grace, you don't need His mercy. But you do, and I do, and so we need to bring our needs before God. Matthew 7, 7, ask, A-S-K, that's ask, A-S-K, asking, seeking, knocking. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. That's calling upon God. The second kind of prayer is specific prayer. I'm not sure how we're doing on the overhead here. It doesn't seem to be following us. But anyhow, the first was balanced prayer. And the second is specific prayer. And that idea here, he says, praying always with all prayer and petition. The word here is a word that means to make a specific request, like Zerubbabel's prayer for help, like the Father's prayer for wisdom, like Daniel's prayer for understanding. It requires a recognition of real needs, a recognition of genuine needs, and then making a specific request related to those needs. What is your supplication? What is your petition for your husband? What is your petition for your wife? What is your petition for your children or your parents or your friend or your work or your school or your church? Do you have specific requests that you are making? Specific requests for your company, your club, your what is your supplication for our church, for our missionaries, for our specific missionaries, for our worship services, for our outreach, for our men's ministry, for our women's ministry, for our ladies' ministry, for our youth ministry, for our children's ministry? When you see a weakness or a need in our church, what is your response? It could be irritation, or it could be supplication. It could be grumbling, or it could be praying. It could be turning your back, or it could be lending a hand. Someone has said that heaven is filled with a room that would surprise all of us when we see it. The room is filled with large boxes, neatly packaged with ribbons on top and your name on it, never delivered to you, because never requested by you. James 4 says, you have not because you ask not. And of course, there are times when you ask, but you don't receive because you're simply asking out of very selfish reasons. But in order to be victorious, we need to be specific in our prayers. This is one of the reasons why we make prayer lists. It's one of the reasons why we email out prayer requests. It enables us to pray for specific needs. I'll never forget a time when Peter and Kathy Clark, missionaries and friends in Amman, Jordan, were told the government was going to shut down their school. And they were forced out of their building, and they were teaching the kids in their home, but we prayed. And God not only reopened the school, he opened it with a permanent status, and Peter and Kathy got permanent visas. That's a specific answer to prayer. A third thing is opportune prayer. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice, praying always, at all times. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This praying always, or praying at all times, the word, there's two Greek words that can be used for time. There's one that is chronos, that's talking about time just kind of marching along. We get our word chronology from that, or a chronometer. But there's another word that's kairos, and that word means a specific point in time, a crucial point in time. And I like to illustrate it this way. If you've ever seen like a circus where trapeze artists are swinging back and forth, and there's a guy hanging on one end, and maybe there's a girl on the other end, and they're just swinging back and forth. That's chronos. Just time marching on. But suddenly the girl lets go of her trapeze and she's spinning in the air. And suddenly chronos has become kairos. And either he catches her or she falls to her death. That's kairos. And that's the word here. Praying at those critical junctures, Maybe a man's trapped in, or a woman is trapped in some sin. They're addicted, alcoholism, drugs, whatever it might be. And they're wrestling with choosing to say no. It could be a crucial decision. Maybe a person is caught in adultery and they're wrestling with, they're choosing to return to purity. It could be a perilous time of death or disease or sickness or heartache or financial pressure. But at any of these critical times in life, and there are many of them, thousands of them, we need to be praying. Every difficult situation becomes an opportunity for prayer. We have a search committee seeking God's direction for music leader, making critical decisions. That's an opportunity for prayer. Every vital decision becomes an opportunity for prayer. Every blessing becomes an opportunity for prayer and praise. Every opportunity is an opportunity for prayer. There's an opportunity to work in the nursery. Have you prayed about it? There's an opportunity to help with the children. Have you prayed about it? Those kind of things. Shall I help with Awana? Shall I help with the youth? Shall I help with the audio and video? Have you prayed about it? Every opportunity is an opportunity for prayer. The fourth is Spirit-empowered prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So praying in the Spirit. The key here is not how long you pray. The key is not how eloquently you pray, but rather how genuinely, how earnestly, how humbly, how fervently. John Bunyan was right on target when he said, rather let your heart be without words than your words be without heart. Quite often, we don't know how to pray as we ought to. We're not sure what to pray. And at those moments, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. He knows our heart. He knows our needs. He knows God's heart. He knows God's will. And He intercedes for us. We're told about that in Romans 8. Praying in the power of the Spirit. Praying in harmony with the Spirit. Two key elements. The first is praying according to God's word, which is the sword of the Spirit. But it means we need to be hearing the word, we need to be reading the word, we need to be studying the word, we need to be meditating on the word, and then we can pray the word back to God and claim truths in the word of God. A father and mother had a daughter who was dating an unsaved man who was not a good influence on her. And they prayed that their daughter and this man would break up. Instead, they grew closer. And so they went to the Word and they're examining the Word. And what does God want? What does God want? What does God want? And they discovered God is not willing that any should perish, but they all come to repentance. So instead of praying that they'd break up, they started praying that he would come to know the Lord. And he came to know the Lord. And then they broke up. Praying according to the Word. Second, praying in harmony with the Spirit is to be delighting in the Lord. Psalm 34 tells us that if we delight in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. Now, there's a way that this is sometimes misunderstood. Sometimes we think, well, okay, I'll make a list of my desires. I want this and this and this and this. Now, all I have to do is delight in the Lord and He'll give me these. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying your goal, your job is to delight in the Lord, and His job is to implant within you godly desires. Delight in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so He'll implant within you godly desires, and you can then ask for those things, and God will answer. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Spirit-empowered prayer. Number five, watchful prayer. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Being watchful or being on the alert. We've already talked about the fact from 1 Peter 5, Satan's like a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to discourage you. You've got to be aware that he is coming against you. You've got to be alert. You've got to be sober. You've got to be watchful. I heard about a man in New England who had a picture taken of himself in front of an entrance to a cavern. And when the picture was developed, he discovered that there was actually an animal crouching directly behind him in the darkness. And it appeared to be a black panther. And he was just a few feet and a few seconds from danger, disfigurement, or even death. And he was totally unaware of it. And so he was unprepared. Some believers go through life seemingly totally unaware that Satan is seeking to devour them, destroy them, discourage them, defeat them, deceive them. We must be spiritually watchful. Do you know what's happening in your home? You know what's happening in your relationships? You know what's happening? What influence your friends are having on you? Do you know what's happening in your use of time? Do you know what's happening in your country? You know what's happening in your world? Are you watchful? Are you sober? Are you alert? Do you see where Satan is working? Robert Murray McShane said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. And he is praying for me." Think about that. He is praying for you. Believer, Hebrews 7:25 says that Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. Some people might wonder, you know, what is Jesus doing now? We know what he did when he came to earth and lived here and died first and rose again. Then he went to heaven. And other than sitting on his dad's hand, which some people seem to picture, sitting at on the right hand of the Father, what is he doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's praying for you. This should boggle your mind. It should blow you clear out of the water. Jesus is praying for you. Daily. He doesn't forget. Every day, Jesus is praying for you. I love that. And just as he's persistent, we should be. The verse goes on, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. With all perseverance. It's crucial that we recognize that God wants us to keep on praying. Pray and keep on praying. By the way, let me go back to Matthew 7:7, that verse I mentioned before, the ASK verse, ask verse. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. In the Greek, that's actually written this way. Ask and keep on asking, and it'll be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on praying, keep on keeping on in prayer. We're to be perseverant in prayer. Now, some of you may feel like the cartoon character Ziggy, who is standing there looking up in the mountain, and the sky is dark, and there's only one cloud up there, and Ziggy says, "Have I been put on hold for the rest of my life?" You ever feel like that? You're trying to pray and you feel like you've been put on hold? Or you feel like you're trying to pray and you feel like it's not only reaching the ceiling? You become discouraged in prayer? Or disillusioned with prayer? Or you just stop praying altogether? It's crucial that we recognize that a delay in answer to prayer helps develop faith in our heart. We must discipline ourselves so we can run with endurance the race that is set before us. We must have a growing patience and a great faith and wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. That's those who wait on, hope in, keep persevering in their trust and faith in God. We must also realize that sometimes a delay in answer to prayer may be a result of a spiritual battle. We saw that in the book of Daniel, where someone was praying and God was sending an answer and demons were fighting the angel that was bringing the answer. And there was a battle going on and it caused a delay. On a Sunday night in April of 1912, an American woman woke up with a deep burden to pray for her husband. She prayed until 5 a.m. Her husband, Colonel Gracie, was on the Titanic in the middle of the Atlantic. He was one of the passengers that went from the Titanic directly into the icy water. But when he came up from the water, he discovered an overturned raft and he clung onto it and he was picked up at 5 a.m. Persistent prayer. And finally, impartial prayer. As he concludes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For all the saints. Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, American, African, Asian, European, in your country, out of your country, in your church, and another church, not in church. All the saints belong to God. All the saints have a common enemy. No one is immune to Satan's temptations. No one. We all need God's grace for strength to stand. We all need God's mercy for forgiveness when we fall. We need to be praying for all the saints. Pray that the saints will reach out to the lost, the bound, the hopeless, the hurting. Pray that the saints will love the Lord with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. Pray that God will give all the saints, including you, an increasing heart for the lost, an increasing boldness to share the good news. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do that my part to win that soul for thee. That kind of prayer where you're praying for God to work. I want to wrap this up, first of all, with motivation to pray. Do you need motivation? I would think having a cunning and crafty and intelligent and powerful enemy would be motivation. A devious and deceitful enemy wants to steal your joy and kill your faith and destroy your walk with God. Remember, you have an awesome God you can call upon. How do you tap into that grace? How do you tap into that power? By faith. Come boldly before the throne of grace, we're told. And God does answer prayer. I want to suggest to you 5 ways God answers prayer. Sometimes God says, no, I love you too much. Just like when a child says to Mom, I want ice cream for breakfast, ice cream for lunch, and ice cream for supper. And you could put chocolate and peanuts on it, but nothing else. And Mom says no. Is she trying to hurt the child? No. She's saying no because she loves him too much. Knows that is not best. Sometimes we make a request and God thinks, that would not be best for you. So I'm going to say no because I love you too much. Sometimes God says, no, but it's a not yet, because the timing is not right. You're asking for something and there's a delay. There's a no, there's a no, there's a no. And all of a sudden, it comes. The timing wasn't right. Sometimes God says, no, but here's something better. And you think you're wanting this, And you keep praying for it, and God doesn't give it. But then he brings this, and you realize, wow, I'm so glad that he brought me this instead of that. Sometimes God says, yes, and I've been waiting for you to ask. And you had not because you asked not. But he just wanted us to ask, to show our dependence upon him, to show our trust in him. Sometimes God says, yes, and here's more. Never forget, Sharon and I were praying that we could either get a position as dorm parents at Dallas Bible College, or that I could get a position as youth pastor at Irving Bible Church when we were in seminary. Because it was our desire to be able to start a family. And God said, yes, and here's more. We became dorm parents and youth pastors. But God answers prayer. Jim Elliot, missionary martyr to the Alka Indians, said this: God is still on his throne, and we are still on his footstool, and there's only a knee's distance between, and the saint who advances on his knees never retreats. Griffith Thomas said this: if you cannot do anything else, you can pray. Yes, but if you do not pray, you cannot do anything else. I think that's a great quote. I want you to think about that a minute. If you can't do anything else, you can pray. Yes, but if you don't pray, you cannot do anything else. Not the right way, not with the right motives, not with the right power, not with the right result. Prayer is so crucial. There's another quote, I can't remember who it's from, but when all you can do is pray, prayer is enough. The determination to pray, I want to wrap up with this. Pray constantly, 1 Thessalians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on God. Never stop praying. John Bunyan one time said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Okay, you got it? W-E-A-K, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Develop an attitude of prayer. Second, pray compassionately. I love what Samuel said, 1 Samuel 12:23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He was so conscious of the call upon him to pray for others that he realized it would be sinning against God if he failed, if he ceased to pray for him. We need to become intercessors, going before God on behalf of one another and others. We need to hold up each other in prayer. Abraham did it. Moses did it. Samuel did it. Jesus did it. Do you do it? And finally, pray fervently. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man has a huge impact. Jesus talked about the importance of keeping on in prayer. By faith, we can be victorious in this battle. By faith, you can be strong in the Lord. And by faith, you can tap into God's power. And that's through prayer. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon Jesus because Jesus cares for you. And so a songwriter put it this way: what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It's a privilege. And it's yours. And no one can take it from you. Let's stand and sing that with the praise team.